Good morning. It's January the 10th, 2015. What time is it? It's 8:34 in the morning. It's cold. It's 22, 24 degrees out here. Freezing fog. There is fog, and everything around here is cold enough to freeze the condensation on it. So there are places where, like right now, I'm walking past a pine tree that has all of its needles rimed in frost. It's quite lovely. It's quite unpleasant, but it's quite lovely. I'm wearing my thermals. I got my thermals on this morning, so even though it's really quite cold out, and I'm really quite warm. I'm actually building up a little sweat underneath the back of the long johns here. It's icy. It's really icy. It was quite warm yesterday, so a lot of stuff melted, and of course it's cold enough that it's frozen again. So the places where it's really slick. So yeah, yesterday was warm enough to walk, but my back was really sore, and my thighs were telling me, "Dude, you didn't walk for like 10 days, and now you're out there hiking along, probably closer to 20 days." And yeah, I needed to have a day of rest to let the body try to heal a little bit. Back is much better today. The legs are still sore, but I'm walking it out. So quite cool, yeah. It's a Saturday. I got the files for OwnerShare all corrected. I just need to go double check the cover art, because I think what I've done is munged up the cover and I picked the wrong cover art. It's not the one that has the charts on it. It's the ebook cover and not the... I think it's the ebook cover and not the paperback cover, so I have to go check that this morning, and if that matches, then I can upload the files, get the files all uploaded, make everybody happy, move on to the next three books. I'm going to start reading the 10th books. Somebody asked me about that yesterday. Yeah, I have to start reading the 10th books and getting those edited up and posted on Podio Books while I still can. Oh, delicate. Little delicate steps across that frozen pond. So, yeah, it was not a great day yesterday, but it was a productive day. I'm happy with the production. I'm always happy to have more, but I'm happy to have what I got. Because that means now all the Sure books, so I get this uploaded, all the Sure books are in paper. That's one whole mass of people who will now just have to wait while I write new stuff. While I finish with the Tanith books, the Tanith people will have to wait a little bit longer for it gets audio, but it will be coming. And then everybody will be happy because then I can start writing new stuff. I'll have the ferrets under control. My brain will be able to focus. I need to go through and mark up the end of the year calendar so I can swap over calendars. I haven't updated anything in December on my wall calendar, and I want to do that and make an end of year post and a looking ahead post. To see what I'd like to be able to accomplish this year. Looking back at all the stuff I've done, I've really beaten myself up a lot for how little I've done. And the problem is, of course, that that's not very productive, first. It puts me in a bad place, mood-wise. It's also an artifact. It's one of the symptoms of ADD, It's that self-esteem issue. It's like, oh, you suck. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. And the reality is, I had to do an end-of-year post. Somebody wanted to know, what did you accomplish last year? And while I didn't, I don't think I wrote anything new last year. It's 2014. I think the last new book I wrote was Hermit in November of 2013. And I published that in January. But I also published a bunch of stuff, a lot of books in paper. All the share books, except for the last one. I did all of the galleys for all the books, except for South Coast. I published South Coast for the first time. I published Owner's Share for the first time, I think. I published, yeah, that was last year. I have to go back and look at my calendar because it's on my calendar. It's on my to-do list. I put dates when I publish stuff, so. So yeah, last year I actually did quite a lot of work. There were a lot of days where I didn't do anything because I couldn't, or what I was doing was not actually that sort of 9-to-5 mentality production stuff where, oh yes, well, it's work time, I must work, let me find some work to make. That didn't happen. I spent a lot of time playing, letting my mind kind of idle, wander where it will. I've got some great ideas for the new stories. I'm building them every day a little bit more. I had a couple of dates this morning and a cup of coffee. That's it. It's kind of running on empty. I need to get some food in there. Got some fresh bagels yesterday and some fresh smoked salmon. So I know what my breakfast is going to be. I just have to get back to it. I still have about a little more than half a mile to go, but that's a mile and a half more than I had earlier when I started. So good. Let's see what else. Oh, I still have to do that audition tape. That was dumb. I still didn't do that yesterday. Need to get that moving. I got 5 chapters of Zephyr's Call recorded. I need to record some more. I have to get my recorder back from my daughter, who has had it for a few weeks now. She had a Zoom H1 that we got her last year for her birthday. But, apparently there was something that she did to the screen in the front, and it came loose and started shorting things out and eventually wouldn't work anymore. I'm not exactly sure what's up with that. H1 seems like it has been a pretty reliable tool. But she's home now, so she can use the booth on my H4. But I have to get it back from her so I can do some more recording myself. Which reminds me, yes, Katarina Bordet, I need to record. It's like 4 minutes, maybe, tops. I just need to get the recorder back from a kid and print out the stuff I need to read. So I was talking to Dan Sawyer yesterday. He's got a new, I guess it's a novella. I don't think it's a short story. I think it's a novella. Resurrection Junket. That is, it's just spectacular. I read it last year when he was writing it. And yeah, it's very cool. It's I can't really describe too much about it because I'll spoil it. But it's a very disturbing book. It's very wrapped up in philosophy and ethics without being preachy. It's sort of a what happens if you have these kinds of ideas and ideals, and what does that do to you and the people around you. So Resurrection Junket, when you see it, come by Monk Post. It's definitely worth grabbing a sample to see what you think. It's a very good story. Let's see what else. Oh, kid got their schedule. That's actually, I touched on that earlier, but that's actually a really big deal. Because it means she goes to work, goes to school every day at the same time, and comes home almost every day at the same time. She has a Monday early release, so she gets out like an hour early on Monday. But every other day of the week, she goes to the same time, comes home at the same time. And it's really a lovely schedule for her. It means that she's not locked into the school building 10 hours a day. And that does wonders for her mental health, which is kind of too bad. It's kind of awkward. You know, I think of my high school days, and I would never go back to them. But compared to my home life, being in school was quite a lot of fun. So, yeah, there's that. I guess I take it as a compliment that she would rather be home with us than hanging out in school with the people who would, under normal circumstances, be her friends, but which are apparently not so much. Part of it is she's Little Miss Empathy. She's ridiculously empathetic. She fucks above every iota, every dram of angst, every iota of anger. And carries it with her. And that's a bit of a problem for her, so coming home is probably the best bet. As I was putting on my longings, I was thinking about cold weather and other times when I have geared up for cold weather. Morning. And there was a camp counselor that used to be a year-round employee for Camp Wawanak, where my grandparents worked for many, many years. And I came to know June quite well. Not real well, because I was just a kid, but she was somebody I always counted as a friend. And she would take me skiing. She was a phys ed teacher at Westbrook College and a counselor at the camp during the winter. And because she was part of the school at Westbrook, she was always finding interesting things to go to. I remember she took me to a couple different plays. It was great fun. It was an introduction to a world of letters that I really didn't understand or know even existed or could exist for a blue-collar, poor guy from East Puckerbrush, Maine. And she would take me skiing, and we would go up to Pleasant Mountain once in a while. I think once we went to Saddleback. We go up to Pleasant Mountain because it's relatively close. It's an hour and a half, and it's up in Bridgeton. And she taught me how to ski. And, you know, I'm up there with used, banged up, beat up skis. She's there with her medals. Every year she would take a skiing holiday to the Alps. Some years it was France, some years it was Switzerland. Like one year she went to Italy. So she was always going over to Europe to ski in the winter, and she would come back and she would ski with me on this little podunk hill. But she always was like, okay, here's what you have to wear, here's how you have to do it, here's what's going to work, here's what we do, here's how it goes, and if you fall down, you just get up again. And the idea is not to go fast, the idea is to go with control. And it's one of those things that sort of stuck with me, I guess. I was trying to go with control. I didn't always not try to go fast, but skiing, I found, you know, skiing, going slow and skiing, and knowing that I could stop, knowing that I could turn, knowing I could do whatever I needed to do, was quite helpful when looking down that long, horrible hill to the bottom of the bunny slope. That was quite traumatic the first few times. And she started taking me on some of the larger runs. It was quite fun. It was a great deal of fun. But every time I put on long johns now, I think of, okay, first we have to put on this layer. Then we put on that layer. Then we put on the next layer. And I had... eventually, I got a pair of real ski pants. That was big time. Got a pair of real stretchy ski pants. So I would wear my long johns. And then my stretchy ski pants with the stirrup feet. And then I had a pair of one size too large, flannel lined blue jeans that went on over the top. So the flannel would get wet, the blue jeans would get wet, I'd fall down, I'd get covered in snow. They would get wet, but they'd be so cold on the outside that it really didn't matter because I still had two layers underneath and the ski pants shed the water, it didn't wick it in from the outside. So it worked out pretty good. I remember sitting down once on the ski lift, or at the lift up, having my knees go crack because the water in the jeans was frozen. And my knee joints had frozen solid. And that was funny. But we would be up there like 8 degrees, 5 degrees. I think one day we were up there, it was 10 below. Put on your goggles. Wear your warm clothes. Wear your mittens. Not gloves, but mittens. It was great fun. It was an introduction to another world. I played in a little bit, but never actually immersed myself in, which is kind of odd given that now I'm here in the Rockies and some of the best skiing in the country is within a two-hour drive. Well, I don't go in large part because ski tickets are kind of pricey. Day passes are, I don't know what they are anymore. I know when we first got here, the day passes were $25 and $35. That's a lot to pay for a day of skiing. June Gray. I wonder what happened to her. Last I knew, she was still running the camp. She inherited it from the original owners, or the owners that I knew. And she and her companion were running it, Camp Wawanak. I don't know if they still are. I don't know if it's even still in business. That's a tough business to be in, but they have a lot of history. They have a lot of families that go there 3, 4, 5 generations. So there's a lot of history there. So they probably do pretty well. Good morning. Yeah, it is. This is nasty. The road is cut up, and where the snow has been packed down, it's frozen solid and slick. Very, very slippery. Okay. out it. That's the last road. I'm coming up on the back gate. More accurately, I'm coming up on the garage door because back gate is frozen shut. It's underneath snow. But here I am. Another day, another walk. Where's my recorder? Oh, there it is. Right at the top. No wonder I couldn't find it. So yeah, 8:54. Almost 9 o'clock. Time for me to dig into work a little bit. Get some breakfast. Get on with the day already in progress. But it's where I say tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.